With economy you may place something at interest. With wise management you can save something after paying your debts. On 396.2 I have known a family receiving $20 a week to spend every penny of this amount, while another family of the same size, receiving but $12 a week, laid aside $1 or $2 a week, managing to do this by refraining from purchasing things which seemed to be necessary but which could be dispensed with. On 396.3 make property secure by proper will. Those who are faithful stewards of the Lord's means will know just how their business stands, and, like wise men, they will be prepared for any emergency. Should their probation close suddenly, they would not leave such great perplexity upon those who are called to settle their estate. On 396.4 many are not exercised upon the subject of making their wills, while they are in apparent health. But this precaution should be taken by our brethren. They should know their financial standing and should not 397 allow their business to become entangled. They should arrange their property in such a manner that they may leave it at any time. On 396.5 wills should be made in a manner to stand the test of law. After they are drawn, they may remain for years and do no harm, if donations continue to be made from time to time, as the cause has need. Death will not come one day sooner, brethren, because you have made your will. In disposing of your property by will to your relatives, be sure that you do not forget God's cause. You are His agents, holding His property, and His claims should have your first consideration. Your wife and children, of course, should not be left destitute. Provision should be made for them, if they are needy. But do not, simply, because it is customary, bring into your will a long line of relatives who are not needy. On 397.1 remember God's cause, while living. Let no one think that he will meet the mind of Christ in hoarding up property through life and then at death making a bequest of a portion of it to some benevolent cause. On 397.2 some selfishly retain their means during their lifetime, trusting to make up for their neglect by remembering the cause in their wills. But not half the means thus bestowed in legacies ever benefits the object specified. Brethren and sisters, invest in the bank of heaven yourselves, and do not leave your stewardship upon another. On 397.3 stewardship transferred to children is often unwise. Parents should have great fear in entrusting children with the talents of means that God has placed in their hands, unless they have the surest evidence that their children have greater interest in, love, for, and devotion to the cause of God than they themselves possess, and 398 that these children will be more earnest and zealous in forwarding the work of God and more benevolent in carrying forward the various enterprises connected with it which call for means. But many place their means in the hands of their children, thus throwing upon them the responsibility of their own stewardship, because Satan prompts them to do it. In so doing they effectually place that means in the enemy's ranks. Satan works the matter to suit his own purpose and keeps from the cause of God the means which it needs, that it may be abundantly sustained. On 397.4 the curse of hoarded wealth. Those who acquire wealth for the purpose of hoarding it leave the curse of wealth to their children. It is a sin, an awful, soul-periling sin for fathers and mothers to do this, and this sin extends to their posterity. Often the children spend their means in foolish extravagance, in riotous living, so that they become beggars. They know not the value of the inheritance they have squandered. Had their fathers and mothers set them a proper example, not in hoarding but in imparting their wealth, they would have laid up for themselves treasure in heaven and received a return even in this world of peace and happiness and in the future life eternal riches. 401 of 398.1. Chapter 66, The Portals We Must Watch. Why God gave us eyes, ears, and speech. God gave men eyes, that they might behold wondrous things out of His law. He gave them the hearing ear, that they might listen to His message, spoken by the living preacher. He gave men the talent of speech, that they might present Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. On 401.1 How Satan gains entrance to the soul. All should guard the senses, lest Satan gain victory over them, for these are the avenues of the soul. Of 401.2 you will have to become a faithful sentinel over your eyes, ears, and all your senses, if you would control your mind and prevent vain and corrupt thoughts from staining your soul. The power of grace alone can accomplish this most desirable work. Of 401.3 Satan and his angels are busy creating a paralyzed condition of the senses, so that cautions, warnings, and reproofs shall not be heard or, if heard, that they shall not take effect upon the heart and reform the life. Of 401.4 My brethren, God calls upon you, as his followers to walk in the light. You need to be alarmed. Sin is among us, and it is not seen to be exceedingly sinful. The senses of many are benumbed by the indulgence of appetite and by familiarity with sin. We need to advance nearer heaven. Of 401.5 Satan's strategy is to confuse the senses. Satan's work is to lead men to ignore God, to so engross and 400 to absorb the mind that God will not be in their thoughts. The education they have received has been of a character to confuse the mind and eclipse the true light. Satan does not wish the people to have a knowledge of God, and if he can set in operation games and theatrical performances that will so confuse the senses of the young that human beings will perish in darkness, while light shines all about them, he is well pleased.